This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Imagine trading your office job for the freedom of the open road, exploring America's national parks from the comfort of your RV. Today, we chat with Marissa Webb, an engineer who did just that, embracing remote work to journey across the U.S. Today, Marissa is going to share her experiences from the challenges of nomadic life to the joys of waking up in new, breathtaking locations. Dive into an inspiring conversation that explores the realities of pursuing a life filled with adventure, freedom, and the great outdoors. Get ready for a glimpse into the life of a modern-day nomad who turned her dream of travel and exploration into a thrilling reality.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast with DeAndre Koch, brought to you by Boldly Go. Beyond being the founder of Boldly Go, DeAndre has a deep expertise in financial planning through owning his own financial planning firm. This finance background has provided him unique insights, enabling him to navigate the travel landscape with ease and is considered a renowned travel hacker. On this podcast, we're all about assisting adventurous travelers and budding explorers in tackling their travel hurdles, teaching luxury travel hacking strategies, and highlighting the busy professionals that still find time and ways to get away. Expect travel tips, unforgettable destination stories, and guidance on maximizing your rewards points. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and become an expert luxury travel hacker yourself. This is your journey, but our revolution in the world of travel.
All right, welcome everybody to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I'm your host, DeAndre Koch, and today I have an exciting one for you. This is going to be a little bit different. This is someone who has done a completely different type of travel hack from anything that we've talked about before, and I really, really, really wanted you to hear her story. This is Marissa Webb, you know what, Marissa, I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself because you have just lived a completely different type of travel lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I know that you went, you're an engineer, and basically what you did is you said, I want to go ahead and explore the U.S. in an RV. Mm-hmm. So I want you to introduce yourself real quick, and I'm going to give some background on how we met and how I even knew exactly this life that you're living now.
Sounds good. Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm Marissa. I'm a nomad now for about a year and a half. And I think nomad's a little bit different for everyone. But for me, it means that I live in my Airstream and I travel around the U.S. and still have a normal 9-to-5. Technically, I'm not really an engineer anymore, but that's kind of how I got into what I'm doing now. I have a remote job. So what do they call those? Digital nomad. So I met you in Virginia. I've been mostly out west since then, exploring the western side of the country and just really living life day by day.
Yeah, so we actually met. So for the listeners, as you probably know, I'm a financial advisor. I own a financial planning firm. And so my whole practice is word of mouth based. And so I was referred to Marissa by one of her friends. And in our first meeting, she said, hey, so I want to change my job and I want to get an RV and I want to travel the country. And that was the start of our first conversation. And I said, you know what? That's not normal or typical. I love it. Let's figure it out. Let's do it. And we did it. And like you said, it's a year and a half now that, I check in on you, how things are going, and we came up with a game plan and now you're doing it, which is why I wanted to highlight this story. So Marissa, I'd love for you to give us a little bit of background on your beginnings as an engineer, your initial career path, like all the things that led up to this really big change that's happened so far.
Sure. So I like telling this story because the way that it fell together was just kind of exciting to me. So I was an engineer for about 9 years in Virginia. I worked at a shipyard there, just, doing the normal kind of climbing the corporate ladder, kind of crushing life. I was a made manager pretty young. And then I had what I kind of call like a quarter life crisis where I was at the top of my game. you know, I was still like applying for promotions and whatnot. And then I ended up getting demoted, which was like a huge ego, but like knocked my ego, because I was like, I'm awesome. Like, how could they do this to me? And it, you know, it wasn't out of performance. It was like a spans and layers type thing, but it just really, I was really upset about it. I was like, you know, I thought these people cared about me and they just let this happen, you know? So it was kind of like, oh, woe is me. But it was the exact catalyst that I needed to like completely change my life. Because after that, I was working for someone who was just the epitome of a micromanager. And I was just absolutely miserable. Like for the first time in my career, I was miserable. And I was like, I need to do something. And it was, you know, I was in Virginia, it was February. And you know, like you need to get out of Virginia in February. Like I usually go somewhere warm. So I was like, I need to get out like immediately. So I booked a last minute flight to Miami. This is like the first time that I've ever traveled by myself for like vacation. I was really scared just to do that. And I stayed at a hostel for the first time too. And I was like, this is sketchy. And it was, I had, it was like the best time of my life. I had so much fun. I met so many awesome people. I came back to Virginia and I was like so happy. And then like one day of work, I was like, I was just completely like miserable again at work. And I was just like, whoa, like something needs to change. So then I decided to take a road trip. And then I took 3 weeks off work and I took a road trip from Virginia Beach out to the Grand Canyon. And again, I was just so happy. I was like, whoa, like this is like so many, like I was getting chills of just like realizing how happy I was. And I was like, how do I make this my life? So like when you drive, kind of getting a little technical here, but when you drive, your brain goes in like alpha state. So like things kind of pop up, like thoughts, you're easier to like make sense of things. So when I was on a road trip, so I was driving and I just kept having all these like epiphanies of like, wow, like I need to change this in my life. Like all of these things started to make sense. And that's when I made the decision of like, I need to make this my life. How do I make this happen? And then that started the process, which was really like a year and a half before I started actually traveling. It took me that long to like, I had to sell a bunch of stuff. I had to downsize. Obviously I had to like figure out how to make my money situation work. And then once all that,
glad you had a good person for that one.
Exactly. Yeah. That was lucky. Very lucky too. and then, yeah. So then like pieces started to kind of come into place, and, it's kind of cool too, how I got my remote job. Also kind of ties into like my road trip thing of just like, it just felt like it was destiny. Like the job that I got was perfect, allowed me to do what I needed to do. And then, I, you know, the process of actually having a dream and making it happen, like there's a lot of steps that people don't see. So there was, so much planning, so much research, so much like points of anxiety of like, can I really do this? And, you know, now I am again a year and a half on the road. And it's just like, I can't believe I was ever like scared of this. Like, it just feels so second nature.
I completely understand that. And I actually want to take a quick step back, sure, because you talked about something that was really cool that I don't think a lot of people really get to grasp the benefit of or the experience of, and that was specifically staying in a hostel in Miami, right? Because even you said like a hostel, this seems sketchy. And I feel like any of the times people hear hostel, they just think the worst of the worst scenarios. And there's like horror movies based on hostels and those type of things. And I've stayed in many hostels all over the world, and I've had incredible experiences and met incredible people. And I think honestly, for the listeners out there, like if you're a newer traveler or a solo traveler, hostels are great. Yes. Before we go into more of the digital nomad life you live, I'd love to take a quick step back and just dive a little bit more into that hostel story and hear like what made that so great, right? Did you meet great people? Did you do anything fun? Or was it just that Miami was just a great place to be in general?
So I just got goosebumps thinking about it because like it was so awesome. And it was awesome because one, I'm like naturally introverted. At least at this time, I was way more introverted than I am now. So like you go to a hostel, one, I'm a female traveling alone, like that people might think it's scary, but it's like, it's not, it's completely safe. Like you can get all female rooms, you can get co-ed if you want. But yeah, I just like, I met so many people and I was only there for a weekend, And usually the people that are going to stay at hostels, they're going to be more open-minded. They're going to be people who want to meet people and want to talk to people. And they're just like, from my experience, they're just, it's just so fun. It's like, you just find your click and it's just like, there's no judgments. You meet people from around the world, all walks of life, and none of that matters. It's just like, you just meet these people on this like real level. And then you just have these amazing conversations. And the next thing you know, you're like best friends. And that was my first experience of like how, like just the power of travel and like the power of meeting random people on the road and just like people who don't travel. I don't think they understand it because it's like, it's not something common where you just meet someone in one day and you're like, whoa, like I connected with them so much. And like, this is like a genuine connection of like, this person's amazing. Like we're just, it's just so different. And that's really what inspired me to continue traveling because I was just like high on life of meeting all these cool people and genuine people that like I didn't meet in Virginia. And, you know, who knows why that is, you know, it's probably just maybe I didn't look for them, who knows, but I just felt like it was almost easier to meet people and make friends in a completely weird environment that I don't know anyone. Cause it makes you think differently too. Like when you get out of your normal daily routine, your brain like works differently and like you just experience life differently. And then kind of just a little bit more detail. I ended up doing the Miami trip a second time than like a year later. And I ended up meeting up with the same people at the, hostel in Miami. So that just kind of goes to show, like I spent one weekend with these people, but like I met them again an entire year later. And like, we still talk all the time. Like it's, you know, like it's that kind of connection where it's like, no matter where you are in the world, like these are still your friends. And like, hopefully you get to see them again. If not, it's okay. Like, you know, there's still someone that you care about. But it was just, yeah, hostels are, it was very eye-opening for me. Like this is, I don't know why more people don't do it in America. And I think it's because people more so want to get like the fancy hotel, but hostels are like, they're so much cheaper. You're going to save so much money and also make some awesome friends in the meantime. When I did my road trip, I did a few more hostels in like Nashville and a few other places. And again, had the same just amazing experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the social and community aspect of a hostel is incredible because you can have, I mean, I've stayed in hostels where I had a full like suite to myself, right? Like a couch in the room, everything goes, it's a sizable room. So it wasn't like I was bunking with 12 people. Now there are hostels where you can do that. And some people, they want that experience because also it's $10 a night to stay there.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is also like, we still had a community breakfast or community dinner. So like you're kind of forced to like make friends. And if you're staying in a hostel, like people are there to mingle, to meet, to like be sociable because they're probably traveling alone or it could be a couple that like just wants to meet new people as well. And everyone wants that feeling of meeting new people and making friends and having someone to, you know, go on an adventure with, go to the beach with, right? If you're in a country by yourself, you don't want to go to the beach by yourself. You want to make friends and go with them and have a group outing. And it's really cool. So thank you for indulging me on unpacking that. Cause I think for a lot of listeners, you know, when we're talking, we do talk about luxury and a lot of different things, but I do think staying in a hostel is a really cool travel experience that a lot of people haven't had. And I wish more people, like you said, especially in the States, would be more open to it because it's such a common thing in all the other parts of the world.
It is. Yeah. I think it's a cultural thing too. Like in other countries, I mean, from what I've talked to from other people is that it's like a rite of passage to do that. It's like just normal every day. But in America, it's just, it's not the norm, but I wish it was because like I said, it's, I mean, you know, it's so much fun.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So Marissa, just now going back to the main kind of topic at hand. So you said all of this was a catalyst, right, for you to, you know, start this journey and now start traveling and doing all the different things. So what was the process like to decide, okay, I've got to downsize and now I'm going to fit my entire life into something mobile, right? How did you figure out the right vehicle, the right, the camper? I know you have an Airstream, right? Like how did you figure these things out? Because, you know, I can go online and see, you know, a camper and it's a luxury $300,000, you know, you have this chandelier in the middle of it, place to live on the road. But, you know, there's also that's not what you did, which is I think smart at the same time. Right. So how did you figure out all of the things that you had to do to start this journey?
It was kind of a little by little. So when I first knew I wanted to do this, it was literally right after my road trip. And I lived in my car for 3 weeks and I realized like I overpacked, like I brought way too much stuff with me. And then I just had this thought of like, I have a 2-bedroom apartment back in Virginia. And one of the rooms was basically just storage for furniture I had for my grandparents. And I was like, I was keeping it because I was like, oh, one day I'll use it. But then I was like, I don't like, why am I keeping this? Like I suddenly felt weighed down by everything that I owned because I was like in my car, completely fine. I didn't need anything in my apartment. So that was like, I immediately started selling all the furniture. And then that was like phase one, was just like all the big chunky things where I was like, this has no value to me. Like I just really don't need this stuff. And then once I started to get closer, you know, I started to do a little bit more research of like, well, what do I want to live in? You know, like there's so many options. There's vans, there's trailers, there's like full like RVs. And for me, I ended up finding someone who just like on Instagram, this girl who was also a nomad. She was around my same age. She was traveling with a cat and a dog. And I was like, oh, wow, this looks awesome. I really like her setup. Her cat looks comfortable. Her dogs look, you know, like it looks great. And I have a cat. So like, that was kind of I was like, well, I'm not going to just ditch her, you know, I'm going to take her with me. So I was like, well, I have to consider, you know, an animal. So I was like, well, that kind of limits certain things because a lot of people I've realized after traveling that most people my age do vans because you can park almost anywhere and it's just more convenient in some ways. But for me, I'm like, if I'm driving on back roads all the time, I don't want my cat with me. So that kind of limited me to the trailer. And then I also didn't, you know, like travel trailers, a lot of them are made very cheaply. So I was like, I don't want some cheap thing that's going to fall apart in after a year of living in it. So I was like, okay, Airstream is a very good brand, very good quality. And I was like, if I only do this for 2 years, then I could resell it if I want to and like, you know, not really lose much money. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I got to the Airstream. And then in terms of the truck, I have always just loved Tacomas or Toyota. My first vehicle out of high school, I had a 1990, Toyota truck. It wasn't Tacoma yet. It was just a pickup truck. And I loved that thing. And when I was in college, I was like, as soon as I'm like making money, I want a Tacoma. So I was like, well, I have to get a Tacoma, like no brainer. But then I was like doing the research and I was like, well, their towing capacity kind of sucks. So that I was like, that kind of that limits me to like the trailer that I can get. So that's why I have a 16-foot trailer. It's pretty small, but it's perfect for me. Like it, you know, I'm kind of used to small spaces. It's so cozy in there. I absolutely love it. But so then once I actually got the trailer, that was the hard part was getting rid of like the next chunk of trying to downsize. So I ended up moving into a friend's house and just like renting a room in the house. So that was kind of like another phase of like, well, I have to fit everything in this room. So that was kind of helpful. That was like, you know, step two. And then step three was moving into the Airstream. And I knew I had to get rid of a lot of clothes. that was the hardest part for me, probably, was getting rid of clothes. And I don't like stuff. I've never been like a very materialistic person. So like the rest of the process was pretty easy for me, in terms of like just the things that I needed, you know, like there's kitchen stuff and then bedding and clothes. And then, you know, there's not really too much that you honestly need. And that's what I learned when I was on my road trip for 3 weeks of like, you don't need much to live and be happy. And I honestly love like not kind of living like more of a minimalistic, because it's so much stress free. I don't know. I just don't like stuff. So that part wasn't too hard for me.
Got it. So we downsize. So we had to go through this like series of downsizing to basically live out of what was like one room, right, for yourself and the Airstream. And then, so we finally did that. We downsized, and then did we hit the open road essentially, or was there another step in between?
Once I got my remote job. That was really like my biggest thing I needed to do. And in my mind, I was like, okay, remote job. And then like a month later, I bought a truck. And then the month later, I think I bought the Airstream. And then I took about 3 to 4 months to prepare before I hit the road. There were a few tweaks I wanted to make to my Airstream, like, cause I bought it, it was like a year used. So there's just like some small maintenance things I needed to do. And then I took like the maiden trip of like, let me just take this thing out, learn how to use it, make sure that I can do this.
did you go pretty far, or did you just go like to one of the campgrounds around town?
I actually drove up to Gettysburg from Virginia. So that was
okay.
Maybe like 4 hours, I think. So not close, but not super far. And then like, I've never towed anything in my life. So that was a learning curve too. And kind of, that was scary, but now it's just like, I don't even notice I'm towing now. But yeah, so I took the maiden voyage to Gettysburg, and then I took, I guess you could say whatever the second maiden voyage is. And I went to somewhere in North Carolina, and that time I brought my cat, and it was the first time that I worked. So I was like, okay, that was like the real proof of concept. Like, can my cat travel with me? Like, is she going to be okay? And like, can I do my job? And it was flawless. So I was like, wow, like now I just have to say goodbye to everyone and, you know, make plans for like where I'm going to actually stay. So, I think I left in like August of 20, what year was that? I don't even know. 21, 22. I forget.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
22.
From when we met. 22. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then you said that was the proof of concept. It mm-hmm. worked. It worked great. Mm-hmm. So take us a day in your life, right? So what's mm-hmm. a typical day look like when you are living, working, and exploring from your RV?
Sure. So luckily my job's pretty flexible. And it's East Coast hours, which benefits me on the West Coast because I finish my workday either 2 or 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, normal job, just online work. And sometimes I'll go to a coffee shop. Sometimes I'll sit outside and work if I have reception, which is honestly amazing. and then, depending on where I'm at, if I'm close to a national park, then I'll try to do a hike in, after work, or like just go explore the city. I really like to switch between city life and just like complete desolation. I mean, cause I really love nature, and I love the peace of just being somewhere in the middle of the woods with like no one around and just really absorbing like your surroundings. But then I'm like, all right, now I need socialization. And I like go back to a city and explore city life. But yeah, generally it's work. And then I love hiking. That's like like I said, being in nature. So that's like usually at the top of my list is like, let me just find some really cool hike in some beautiful national park, some alpine lakes, some kind of lake somewhere, or beautiful waterfall, or a cliff jump, or I recently started rock climbing. So that's like a new thing on my radar. Just so much to do. But yeah, it's really, people might think it's like a vacation every day, but it's still a pretty normal life, other than like I have the perks of waking up to beautiful scenery all the time, or like I can just walk out of my door and go hiking in Glacier National Park. but I still like to go to the gym, and I have to cook. I still have, like the normal life responsibilities. It's not really a right. vacation, but it's still like, a break from normal life.
Hey everyone, this is DeAndre Koch interrupting the episode real quick to let you know that if you want to travel in style and luxury, thanks to travel hacking, here's an amazing opportunity to learn how. I've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you a special discount on their in-depth online course. It busts common myths, teaches the basics, and even has advanced techniques that surprised even me. Imagine exploring ancient ruins in Italy, or sipping cocktails on a Polynesian beach, and traveling there in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. This limited time offer saves you 50%, and you even get bonus content that's not available to the public. You also get access to the private Lux Travel Hacks Facebook community, where you can grow even more in your travel expertise. Click the link in the show notes and use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout to take advantage of this huge opportunity. All right, now back to the show. So I'd love to hear, Marissa, I'm sure the listeners would too, what are some of the coolest experiences you've had? Mm-hmm. And then what are some of the craziest experiences you've had? You know, I would love to hear, you know, some of both, like, right, the good mm-hmm. and the bad and, you know, whatever yeah. you care to share.
I mean, there's so many good. I would say my favorite places so far in the country have been Oregon and Washington and Montana. So like kind of the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, okay.
Like Oregon, there's just, when I was there, it was kind of like their peak snowmelt. So the waterfalls were just insane. And
nice.
Sometimes you just time things so perfectly. And I think it's called Watson Falls, and it's the Umpqua National Forest. Absolutely beautiful. Highly, highly, highly recommend going there. Anyway, it's a waterfall called Watson Falls. It's like, I think it's one of the tallest in Oregon. And somehow when I went, there was like no one else on the trail. And because it's peak season, I don't know if you've been to Oregon, but it's literally just like the most lush green. You feel like you're in this like fairy tale land. Like there's moss everywhere. There's water. It's just unbelievable. And you can like walk up to the waterfall, and it was so powerful. It was the first time I've like experienced just like the raw power of a waterfall, of like, just like the mist just rushing in your face where it like, it takes your breath away. And then you're like trying to like wipe the water out of your eyes, 'cause it's like so misty, but then you keep trying to get closer. And then it's like so exhilarating. Like I just,
right.
It was the most unbelievable experience. Like my adrenaline was rushing. I was just like, it's like, I felt the just pure energy of this waterfall, and nobody was around. That's the best part. It's like, I like to enjoy nature by myself. Usually waterfalls, there's people behind you trying to like take pictures, but it was just me and this waterfall, and it was just amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Slightly off topic. Question mm-hmm. for you. Have you been to Iceland before?
No, I haven't.
So, I highly, highly recommend it for you and the listeners out mm-hmm. there, because that they call it the land of 10,000 waterfalls, because there's so many. Mm-hmm. I haven't experienced, I mean, outside of like Niagara Falls in the States, I haven't really experienced a ton of waterfalls. So I'd love mm-hmm. to experience like what you did there in Oregon.
Oh gosh.
But Iceland, beautiful, beautiful, massive, massive waterfalls. So as you were explaining that, you're bringing back the memories for me as well. So I would highly yeah. recommend it.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's just something, waterfalls are just, I don't know, it sounds cheesy, but they're so magical.
No, they are. They 100% yeah. are. They absolutely mm-hmm. are. So that was an awesome experience. Anything, any mm-hmm. other cool stories you have, or exciting or crazy, you know, elements of your travel so far?
I mean, honestly, so many. The highest ones in my mind, though, Glacier National Park is just absolutely amazing. I ended up spending 3 weeks there, which is, I don't normally spend a place longer than a week, but there was just so much to see. And then I had the opportunity to hike, it's called the Enchantments in Washington State. And it's, you have the option of doing a through hike, but it's like 23 miles in one day, which is like, that's a really long hike, but it's literally just like another world. It's so beautiful. I don't remember what the elevation climb is. Like it's not for beginners. Like you have to be really prepared for this hike. I was kind of scared because before that, never did anything so intense. But anyway, you like hike up, I don't know if it's like 3,000, 4,000 feet eventually. And then you get to this, like whatever the like highest elevation is. And there's just all these lakes up there, like lake after lake after lake, pure blue, crystal clear water. And there's, you know, still some like snow glaciers melting in the background, beautiful greenery, open fields, and there's mountains. It's just like literally the perfect combination of everything. There's mountain goats everywhere that like aren't afraid of humans, so you can like, you shouldn't pet them, definitely don't pet them, but like you could if you wanted to. Because they're
I love that disclaimer. Yes, understood. Yeah. don't touch the animals. That's
not
the same rule yeah. we have in diving. Don't touch anything. Yeah
exactly.
That's
look,
awesome.
But don't touch. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. So that sounds super cool, Marissa, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, you're seeing things off the beaten path that few people really get a chance to see. Mm-hmm. curious. I mean, when you're doing these trips, right? When you're out there, when you're kind of you are alone, you're hiking alone, you're backpacking mm-hmm. alone, and I love your content on Instagram, right? Because you know you talk about like hearing a noise when you're on a hike, right, or whatever it may be. And so we'll put your Instagram and your social media in the show notes as well, so listeners can follow you. But do you ever get scary or scared or nervous or being out there in wilderness by yourself, or is it? At this point, are you accustomed to it? I mean, of course, I know you're probably always alert, but mm-hmm. how do you handle that part of it?
Yeah, so there's been a few times in nature that I was scared. When I was in, somewhere in Oregon, one of the like big mountains there, Mount Helen, maybe. Anyway, I was hiking, and it was kind of a populated hike, so I was like on my way back, and I was like on my phone, like trying to like pull out my camera or something, and I hear a noise, and I look over, and it's a mama bear and her cubs. And I was like, I was so scared. My heart was like jumping out of my chest, because at that point I had never seen a bear, and I was like, oh my god, wow. What do I do? I was like, I don't want it to see me. And then I realized, I was like, okay, was that a safe distance? And I was able to just like film like a 3-second video of it before I was like, all right, I need to go. So before that, honestly, I wasn't scared at all. But after I saw the bear for the first time, I was like, okay, I need to be more aware of where I'm at. And, you know, Oregon, Washington, Montana, Wyoming, like bear country, like you just really need to be more aware. So after that, I bought bear spray. And I do have a gun that I'll take with me sometimes. I didn't have it with me that day because, again, it was kind of like a, you know, pretty populated hike. So, but that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. So, and then since then I've done a few hikes where, you know, I wake up at 5 a.m. and go on a hike, 'cause it's going to be a, you know, 10 to 14 miler or something. And that's a little scary. But again, there's precautions, like they have, bear whistles, or, the times that I did those hikes, I usually had a friend. So I definitely recommend, if you're going to be hiking in bear territory at 5 a.m, like when the sun's coming up, like it's definitely smart to go with someone. And when I was in Glacier, I was with a friend. So we were hiking together. He had a bell. We were talking the whole time. And I think just our level of conversation was enough to like scare the animals, because we didn't see anything, like no bears, no moose, which, like, I was convinced I was going to see one of those, if not both, in Glacier, you know? So maybe we just got lucky, or maybe it's because we were gabbing the whole time and we scared them away. But either way, it is, I think there's always going to be some level of a little bit of fear, if you don't have bear spray, like you just have it with you. I would recommend a gun too, and know how to use it and be safe.
All the things. Healthy, exactly. Safe gun ownership, and
exactly.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So as we start to wrap up a little bit, I would love if you happen to have any top tips or your version of travel hacks or travel hacking strategies for the digital nomad life that you're living, you know, whether it's, you know, managing finances, which, you know, having a great financial advisor can help with that, but, you know, managing day-to-day finances, or even just, again, normal travel hacking strategies, different travel hacking strategies that you have, that you think the listeners, that maybe someone's listening to you and saying, you know what, I've always wanted to do that, and Marissa's doing it. She did it. She was worried, and she did it, and she's loving it. I would love any tips that you might have.
Sure. So I mean, honestly, step one kind of is like having a good understanding of how much money you need. And I mean, again, I'm very grateful that you were in my life to help me kind of just, you know, manage my finances a little bit and be like, okay, here's what you need, kind of in a, you know, high level way. And then really understanding like kind of what your goals are of travel. Like, do you want to spend more time in the cities, just doing all the things, which cost money, or do you want to spend more time in nature, which is usually free? And then whenever you do get your vehicle, like, again, you're probably going to have a budget. Like, how much do you want to spend on that? Like, you can buy an old van for like $5,000 and live in it. Like, I've met so many people on the road that like have way that live on so much less than I do, and they're perfectly happy. They're doing it perfectly well for them. You know what I mean? So like, it's really just depends on like what you think, what kind of lifestyle you want, and then, you know, how much are you capable or want to bring in. And then I highly, highly recommend whatever kind of vehicle you get that you make it like boondockable. So boondocking is when you don't have hookups, you're not like at a campground, you're not plugged into power, that you're just parked in the middle of a forest with no services and you're just, you know, living life. So I had to upgrade my Airstream so that I could do that. I have like more solar, I upgraded my batteries, had to install some other equipment, but like that gives me full freedom. It gives me full freedom to go pretty much anywhere. But then also like you have zero rent. Like you, like, I don't know how many people know this, but like forest roads, like national forest roads, are free parking, or it's like free. Like you can just go there and camp. Usually there's like a 14-day limit. But like, it's going to be like beautiful views and you're not spending any money. Same thing with BLM, Bureau of Land Management. It's completely free. So I basically have zero rent now. Like you're saving so much money by not paying for like for RV parks, which kind of suck. It's like if you're someone who likes nature, like you don't want to stay at an RV park. You want to go stay at these, what America has to offer, and go stay in the middle of some beautiful forest. So, but again, you need certain, your rig has to be like, has to have certain things, especially if you need internet. Like I'm a digital nomad, so I need the internet. But I know some friends that don't need the internet for their job. And that's like where it's very cheap to live. Like you have like barely any expense, really just your food. And yeah. And then there's some apps too, where you can like, you just type in your location and it'll tell you like all of the free sites nearby. There's some really good apps out there. And then there's some like, if you do, like for me, like sometimes I'll still go to a KOA because I need to shower or do laundry, depending, you know, if I'm like, if I've been in the middle of nowhere for 3 weeks, I'm like, I need to do my laundry, then I'll just stay at a KOA. And like KOA has a rewards membership where it's like $20 to join. But then if you book like one KOA, you're almost making up that $20 in like the one time you stay there. So,
And just for the listeners, a KOA, mm-hmm. you're referring to the campgrounds, correct?
Yes.
Or the KOA. That's like it's a campground RV park, mm-hmm. situation. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And there's a lot of those. I think that's probably the biggest one in the country. So like you're never going to lose. States,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Gym memberships. Again, if you like fitness, I highly recommend Anytime Fitness. It's like $30-$35 a month, and there's always showers there. So like if you have a rig that doesn't have a shower, then go to the gym or just go use the shower. Some places, like some cities, will have rec centers where you can pay for showers a few dollars, but I don't like to do that on principle of I don't want to have to pay just for a shower. So
right.
I'll go to the gym, or, you know, depending on where I'm at, I'll just jump in the river.
Awesome. Awesome. Marissa, I love your story. I love how just in tune with nature you are, but also how you did all of this, and it started with the plan, right? Mm-hmm. You experienced your first taste of real solo travel and turned that into an entire lifestyle. So question for you, what are your future plans when it comes to the travel, the digital nomad life? Mm-hmm. And also, where are you in the country currently?
So I'm in Steamboat Springs right now, Colorado. It's a little mountain town. People kind of describe it as a snow globe because it's the mountains, the snow just gets like trapped here, and it gets, I don't remember if it's like the top five snow in Colorado, maybe not top five, but anyway, it gets a lot of snow. So I'm just kind of hanging out here for a few months to try to learn how to like winter, because I don't really like the cold. So I'm trying to, learn to like it. But anyway, once it starts to warm up a little bit, my plan is to actually go up to Alaska and spend the summer there, and hopefully get to explore California, because I really haven't spent considerable time there. And I know there's so much beautiful stuff in California, so I'll probably just make a big L up to Alaska. And then after that, it's a little bit of a question mark, but I really, and we've talked about this, I think the next mm-hmm. phase of my life is I want to I want to buy land and I want to do like homesteading, farmsteading kind of thing. So I've been, and that's kind of like my overall goal of this whole travel thing is like, where do I want to live? You know, like, where do I really want to set up my roots and just where am I going to be happy? Because I, living in Virginia Beach for so long, I was like, I just need something different. I know this isn't my forever place. So yeah, I think maybe it'll be Alaska. We'll see. Or
awesome.
Montana, Washington, who knows? But yeah, that's my goal. Eventually find some land and
somewhere where, some roots. Find some land somewhere where it gets cold. It sounds like.
Yeah. That's why I'm kind of trying to just accept the cold weather because I've realized that the kind of place that I want to live in is going to have trees and it's going to have mountains and it's going to have water and that's going to have a cold winter. So that's why I'm like, I just have to suck it up and just get over this thing about not liking winter. Cause ideally anywhere I live is going to be cold in the winter.
Well, I love Steamboat Springs. I love going out and snowboarding mm-hmm. there. So I'm super jealous that you're there for months because I paid just to be there for a week to enjoy the glorious powder and the mm-hmm. mountain there. Steamboat's amazing, mm-hmm. an amazing part of Colorado. So I want to go ahead and get this wrapped up, Marissa. I really appreciate mm-hmm. your time. You are like embodying the definition of boldly go, right? I mean, you have been bold and you are going. Right? You have an incredible yeah. life. It's super awesome to be along for the journey. And I'm really appreciative of you taking the time to share your story with the listeners. Would love to know, you know, where can listeners follow you in your adventures? I already mm-hmm. follow you on Instagram, but I'd love for you to plug all the things, all the ways you want them to follow you. Because for the listeners, you know, Marissa shares a lot of really cool things. Some of the places that she's done, some like farming, some yeah. she breaks down like how she lives out of her camper, her Airstream. I mean, mm-hmm. she really gets detailed and she has some pretty funny videos as well in there. So I would love for them to follow you and support your page because you have some great content you put out there.
Thank you. So I'm mainly active on Instagram. There she goes. Life. Eventually I may start something more with that, but right now it's mainly just Instagram.
Perfect. Well, we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. Marissa, any last closing final thoughts you have, for the listeners out there, who may be inspired by your story, anything else you want to wrap up with before we go?
Yeah. I mean, anyone who's been thinking about this kind of lifestyle, cause I mean, I've met a lot of people that are like, oh, I've always wanted to do that. And they never do it. And I would say to those people, just do it. There's no wrong time. There's no perfect timing to do it. And don't wait. Cause like for me, a lot of people are like, oh, I want to wait till I'm in a relationship or I want to wait till this, but then you're never going to do it. So just do it and you won't regret it. You will have no regrets. And I just encourage anyone to, you know, just give it a try. And if you don't like it, then you know you don't like it and you don't have to do it. It's, you know, you're not stuck in that lifestyle. But I just say, just give it a try.
So have a plan, be bold, yeah. give it a try, have no regrets. Marissa, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for sharing your story. I love everything about it. And I think it's so unique. It's so different. And I'm really appreciative of the opportunity for the listeners to hear your story as well.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
For sure. For the listeners out there, please remember to follow Marissa. We'll have the links in the show notes as well as on social media. You can follow Boldly Go and all the social media platforms out there. Also, if you like this interview, please don't forget to like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, all those different things. And also, if you didn't know, we actually have these videos on YouTube as well. So if you actually want to see the video version of this podcast, you actually can watch it on YouTube also. So until next time, be bold. Have a great rest of your week. Take care.
Thanks for tuning into the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, book a consultation with us. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to set it up and explore more. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Boldly Go. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.